I think there's a quote that was said that you buy what people are selling, you sell what people are buying. You know who the person is that made that quote?
Who was it?
Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett says that.
That's right. I knew it was familiar. I just couldn't place it.
Yeah, but guess what, JP? Warren Buffett is also in this business. If you Google Warren Buffett in a GMAC Res Cap, you'll learn that Warren Buffett is now in a position of buying GMAC Res Cap, and I buy product from GMAC Res Cap. He's in this business because he understands how lucrative it is being able to buy these non-performing notes in bulk REOs. So, if Warren Buffett, he's a billionaire, I'm, of course, nothing near a billionaire right now, but if Warren Buffett is in this business, then quite naturally, he's a smart, sophisticated guy. I would want to be in the same kind of business that Warren Buffett's in. So, these guys are very sophisticated, they're very smart, and they realize that there's blood in the streets right now, and people are going to be able to take full advantage of, unfortunately, what's going on with the economy here in the United States and the banking system. Banks are hurting right now. They need to shore up their balance sheets. They need to get rid of these toxic assets, and because of smart guys such as ourselves, we're able to come in and position ourselves to buy these products from these banks. We're helping the banks out, and in turn helping ourselves out by being able to put them right back in the market and sell them, or acting as a transaction engineer, whether you're the buyer's rep or your seller's rep, to make money in this business. So it's a very simple business once you're able to get your arms around it and understand it. I think what I've been able to do more than anything is just demystify the business, and that's why for the last couple of years I really diligently have just studied the business. And I have worked the business more so than anything else, because experience is the best teacher. I'm not the type that just tries to pass on theories. I want to pass on real methods of how to make the business work for yourself. And, and I've been very successful at doing so.
Well, it's certainly an intriguing business model, especially for this time in the marketplace. There's just a number of reasons it intrigues me particularly. There's the whole bigger paychecks, add a zero or two to the end of it for what I'm perceiving to be a heck of a lot less work than single-family houses have ever been for me. it seems less competitive. I know there's a lot of fake buyers out there, but as you said, it's pretty easy to dispel that unless they're just going to lie to you bold-faced. You just have to ask them the right questions and then make the right connections through that. I love the fact that you don't have to have any special licensure to do this, and it's just the fact that I'll tell you, I'm on an endeavor right now to modify my own business in such a way that I don't want to have to leave the house anymore.
Absolutely.
I know that's sounds a little lazy. I'm not a lazy guy, but I just really grown to like this 3-year-old and 8-year-old I have, and I like spending as much time with them here as I possibly can. So that's another reason it's intriguing to me. I'm glad you put the material together, and I'm sure it's going to serve a lot of people well to get the level of insight you're offering them into the business you built over the last couple of years. Let me talk some quick final questions, just rapid fire. You give quick answers, I'll give you quick questions. Zachary Solomon, hi Kenny. Are you also selling bulk notes?
Yes. Yeah, I have right now 315 non-performing mortgages. First mortgages, they're being serviced from FCI out in California in Aquara. They are servicing those notes for my partner and I. So, yes, we do have non-performing notes available right now. In fact, we also have some second mortgages that are unsecured that we have available for sale right now. $60 million of unsecured second mortgages, we're selling them for 2 cents on the dollar. So those are available right now. So I am an active trader every single day. This is what I do.
Okay, great. Jack commented and said, how do you ever get the seller to give a price expectation and the buyer to make a bid? In my experience, the seller wants a bid from the buyer before giving the price expectation, and the buyer wants an expectation before making a bid. Nobody wants to go first. It's a real problem when dealing directly with a bank. Any quick advice for Jack?
Well, it's really not a problem, because, see, the difference between, I had to train my own associates in my office. Me and my associates in my office came from the traditional form of, just doing the one-off deals where there's a price, there's a house, there's an investor want to buy it. With this business, you got to be much more sophisticated. It's not a difficult business, but you have to step up your game. This is a sophisticated business. So in a situation like that with a bank, they're going to ask you to to give them your highest and best offer, especially if you're dealing with a bank. So that means that you got to put your best foot forward, and you got to present them the best and highest offer, especially if it's a bidding process where there's other investors bidding for that same property. So you need to go out and do all your due diligence, which is your ABMs, your BPOs, and figure out exactly how much you're willing to pay for that package, and then submit them your highest and best offer. For me, there's some times when I have packages where I tell other investors submit your highest and best offer. There's other times when I may put a price on the package. So it really just depends, to be quite honest with you. But I don't like to put myself in a position where it's unproductive, where the guy is trying to, the buyer is trying to get you to give them a price, and the seller is stuck on not providing a price. I like to try to figure out a way where, it accommodates the seller and both the buyer. And for me, again, some of my packages have prices on them. Some of them are highest and best offers, just like banks.
Okay. If the bank is looking, this is from Nathan, if the bank is looking for a if the bank's looking for $300,000 for a tape, is it a fixed price or are they open to offers?
They're open for offers. Everything is negotiable.
And so, if they're open to offers, how much of a discount often are you able to get them to take? I know it depends on the bank, the package, but just kind of an overall ballpark number.
Absolutely. I like to buy lower than 50% of the market value when I'm buying from banks. When I'm buying the note, I want to be somewhere between 30 and 40% of the unpaid principal balance, or if not lower. That's traditionally where I buy. And again, specifically when you're buying notes, you want to make sure that just because you're buying 30 to 40% of the unpaid principal balance, you need to know exactly what the asset is worth. So if you're buying a note for 30 to 40% of the unpaid principal balance, the home you may be buying a home for 80% of the market value. So you need to make sure you know what the asset's worth before you buy the note for those kind of prices. And I think that's why a lot of people, when they're buying notes in bulk, they lose money because they figure, well, just because I'm buying for 30% of the unpaid principal balance, I must be getting a good deal, when in fact, after you do a BPO on the physical asset, you may not be getting such a good deal at all. So you just need to make sure that you position yourself where you buy right and you buy smart. And ultimately, at the end of the day, that's how you're going to make money in this business or any other business.
Okay, last question before I let you go. When you're brokering for the seller, like in your $300,000 example in the article, do you tell your buyer that the price is X, like $325,000, and it's non-negotiable, or do you start at $350,000 and let them talk you down to $325,000?
Absolutely, I would start at $350,000 and let them talk me down to, of course, if you're acting as a seller's rep, of course you're making money from the arbitrage. You're trying to make money between what you can buy it for and which ultimately the most you can sell it for. That's how you're going to make your money. That's one of the ways that you're going to make your money, and we should really expand on that just a little bit also. So I try to start high, and then, of course, they're going to negotiate and try and come down some. But there's two ways of being able to make money as a bulk REO trader. One is points. You're normally going to get paid between 1 and 3 points per deal. Or what I like to do is teach my students how to make an arbitrage where they can make the difference between what the seller needs to net and what the buyer's willing to buy. So, again, if they're buying it for $350,000 and the seller's trying to sell it for $300,000, then you're able to make $50,000. Worst-case scenario, if you make 1 to 3 points, you're going to make at least, if it's a million-dollar deal, you'll make $10,000, $10,000 to $30,000. Or, of course, if you do arbitrage, you can make maybe $100,000 or $200,000 because you're adding on to what the seller is trying to net from that particular package. But, again, when you're dealing with larger deals, most people are going to be working for points. There's a deal that I'm working on right now. It's a $44 million trade out there in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm going to make 3 points from that particular deal. 3 points is $1.2 million. Of course, I could add on to the $44 million, but what I decided to do is just take the points because it will be in the best interest for myself because, making $1.2 million for one deal is a lot of money. And then, I'm not putting too much I might add on to the price too much where now it increases the cost basis and now the seller may not be interested in buying. The buyer may not be interested in buying the particular condominium project out there in Las Vegas. So it really just depends on how you structure deals, but you should try to structure deals where you can make the arbitrage because ultimately at the end of the day you're going to make more money as opposed to just getting paid points.
Very good. Kenny, what's the timeline? When does your material come out, your training on this?
The program will be out August 18th. That's when we're going to open up the shopping cart and You know, it's a good opportunity right now. You know, I think that we have about two more years, maybe 2 years, to make money with Bulk REOs and non-performing notes. So, you know, if you're going to get involved in this business, you need to go ahead and jump in the game right now, because the next couple of years what's going to happen is things are going to go back to the traditional ways of how banks are liquidating their properties, and that is to just send it over to an REO agent and list it on the MLS, and if it sells, it sells. If it don't, it don't. But right now, banks need cash. You know, when people need cash, you know, and they're more desperate than others, you know, than other times, then what they're doing is they're trying to be more motivated to get rid of this stuff so that they can, you know, short the balance sheets, be in compliance with the federal regulators. One other thing I want to also leave you with, you know, is another strategy that I use, just real quick, because I want your students to really realize how lucrative this business is. This is called the cash flow retirement strategy, and this is a strategy that I invented in this business as well. And, JP, here's how this works. And I'm only going to share this with you because I want your students to know that this is a very powerful real estate niche to be a part of right now. And here's how it works. Let's say, for instance, JP, I have 20 homes, and I'm asking $200,000. That's $10,000 a home. And let's say that you go out there, JP, and you find somebody who's interested in buying this package. But instead of you presenting that package to someone for 20 homes, you present to them for, let's say, 18 homes, okay? Now, we're asking $200,000 for this package. You're able to sell to them for $250,000. Now, again, JP, how many homes did you present to your buyer? Was it 18 homes or was it 20 homes?
To your buyer, 18.
Okay, to your buyer. You submitted them 18 homes, okay? And they were willing to buy for $250,000, and I wanted to net $200,000 for 20 homes. And then you come back to me and you say, okay, Keenan, I got somebody who wants to buy this package. I submitted 18 homes. Would you deed over those homes to me free and clear? So I'm going to make $50,000 from the deal, plus I'm going to get two of these homes that I was able to cherry pick and took out the package before I presented to my buyer. And I said, of course I'll do that for you, JP. You go ahead and when we close the deal, I'll go ahead and deed these properties back over to you at the closing table. So here's what you're able to accomplish by this, and this is called the cash flow retirement strategy, and I'm going to tell you why I call it that. The reason why is because now you're able to put $50,000 from the front end in your pocket from that particular deal. In addition to that, I'm going to deed over to you two houses that now you own free and clear that you can now, if they're in pretty good position, you can probably rent those properties out for $500, $600 a month or more. So now you didn't generate yourself $600, you know, $1,200 a month from these homes, and you increase your net worth by maybe another $60,000, $70,000 because the house is worth $35,000 a piece. So in all, not only did you put $50,000 in your pocket, but you also put 50 plus two homes that are worth $70,000. So now you put $120,000 in your pocket, plus you got two houses that are generating you $1,200 a month every single month. Now just think, if you multiply those two houses by 20 homes that you were able to get free and clear by using this cash flow retirement strategy, now you got 20 homes generating $600 a month, which is about $18,000 a month from a house that you got free and clear that you didn't pay a dime to buy. Is that strategy powerful for to you or what?
It's brilliant, man. I love it. I love it.
Well, that's what I do. So, you know, I'm able to generate homes that I own free and clear that I've never even paid a dime for, because I'm able to remove two or three houses out of each package before I sell them. So I'm able to make some money from the front end and also make some money from the back end. And here's how I came up with this strategy, and I'm going to let you go, JP, is that I realized when I was wholesaling, I was so dependent on just doing deals until almost your head falls off, because that's all you can do, because you don't have any kind of income coming in. But I realized with this business, what I wanted to do is set myself up whereas one day I don't have to just be aggressive and sell properties or sell packages. One day what I can do is put myself in a position where now I've been able to accumulate 50 to 100 homes that I own free and clear that I got for free that's generating income for me. But in the meantime, I'm able to still make money from the front end on each deal. So I make money on the front end and the back end. Whenever I structure a deal, I structure a deal the same way. I make money on the front end from the arbitrage, and I make money on the back end because I get houses deed over to me free and clear. So this is not a powerful strategy for anybody. I don't know what is, because I know it's one of the best niches that you're going to find and be a part of in today's real estate market, and there's nothing better than getting things for free, so why not some houses?
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. Man, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. Thanks for your time. Thanks for imparting your knowledge here. I will put out some more information when your material is ready for anyone who maybe want to size it up, take a closer look, and make an investment in it if it's right for them. And that's it. Take care, my friend.
Appreciate you having me, JP. Bye-bye.